just a bloke in a bar.
What is up, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome to another episode of Bloke in a Bar, and I have Australian boxer Michael Zarafa with me. How you going, brother?
Good, brother. Yourself?
Very, very good, thank you. Very good, mate. It's arguably the biggest fight of your career coming up at the end of March. Facing, obviously, Lara, notoriously, like, very crafty boxer, heaps of experience in the ring. What areas do you feel that you have, I guess, the upper hand on him? And I know you can't give too much of your game plan away, but what do you think that you really do outweigh him in skill set?
Well, his biggest thing is his movement. I feel like he's beaten a lot of the top-notch guys by his movement. But the last 2-3 years, even more, maybe 4 years, he tries to, you know, stand his ground a little bit more and tries to fight, which I think, you know, coming up against a guy in myself who, you know, has done that his whole career, I feel like this might get him caught undone. You know, obviously he's, tremendous on the movement and the experience, but I feel like he's going to find himself in a bit of a situation when he's trying to sit there with me. And like I said, I've done this my whole career. You know, I enjoy doing that. I love going 12 rounds and making a bit of a dogfight and a war. So I feel like him, you know, being 40 years old, and people saying 40 he's old and he's done, it's definitely not the case. He's still super sharp. He's got something to prove. He wants to prove to everyone that, you know, 40 is the new 30. So I know he's going to be in there. He's going to be dangerous. He's a southpaw. So coming up, you know, straight off the first round, he's going to be awkward and out of my comfort zone. But like I said, the last 10 weeks, we've implemented a lot of game plans in this fight. So, you know, God willing, I'll go out there and everything goes to plan. And we take home that belt.
And you mentioned he's a southpaw. How, you know, obviously you would feel relatively comfortable against a southpaw, but, you know, certain fighters feel more comfortable than others. Where do you think you kind of land in that, I guess, 1 to 10 kind of comfortability against a southpaw? Because, you know, for footy fans that are listening, it's southpaws are obviously much rarer than orthodox.
Yeah, look, it's that initial, like, you know, oh, crap, he's a southpaw. But once you spar once, twice, you just naturally adapt and luckily, you know, when I do fight, I naturally peel off to that side. I naturally go that left way. So It is a little bit easier for me, but some fighters do find it a little bit awkward. But at the end of the day, you've got a head and a body. You've got to try to hit. So the arms are just, you know, obviously the things you got to dodge. But it just comes pretty natural to me now, especially after 10 weeks. If you don't get it after 10 weeks, you're never going to get it, I truly believe. But, you know, once you get that first spar underneath the belt, it's pretty cruisy after that.
And you spoke earlier of, you know, enjoying kind of the war side of boxing. It takes me back to your fights with Jeff Horn, which were absolutely incredible. And they weren't without controversy, crazy controversy. I think that some of the calls were terrible. But in regards to the level of ferocity in those fights, it was incredible. Can you just take us back to those two fights that in Australian boxing, I struggle to find many fights that, you know, they're as good but not better. Can you take us back to those fights with Horn? What was it like, and what was the falling out after it?
Look, man, they were two tough fights. You know, credit to Horn and the team, but I truly believe I won both those fights. Well, I knocked him out in the first one, so I didn't leave it to the judges. But the second one, I mean, people are still talking about it today, you know, that the decision should have gone my way. They should have stopped the fight. But even when you watch back the actual fight, you know, they gave it to him on an MD decision, which I don't even know how they got that. You know, I won 7-8 out of the 10 rounds, so it should have been a UD decision to me. But, you know, that's done and dusted. But there was a lot of animosity going into that fight, you know, between me and Jeff and, you know, his team. It branched out to bring in the team into it. But, you know, we're on good terms now. And, you know, he was a great athlete and a guy that naturally isn't talented. He just worked hard. You know, he didn't have that natural ability to be slick and use his footwork. He just used his raw toughness and, you know, his heart, which got him over the line. But it was two great fights, and again, in Australian history. So I'm glad to be a part of that. And, again, yeah, the best is yet to come.
And so with this fight, you know, we spoke earlier about the rewards on the other end. You know, I know, you know, it's almost sacrilege to say, you know, what happens after this fight, because you can't disrespect the opponent in front of you. But in saying that, the reality is, as any athlete, they look at a certain performance or they look at a certain event coming up and they say, if we win, this will happen. I guess, what are you looking for if you do get the W March 30?
Well, I've got a mandatory. They've already pretty much made that quite clear for me. But, in Elijah Garcia. But I want the biggest fights. You know, there's talks about me fighting Yanovic, who holds two of the four belts. You know, there's guys like Charlo in my division that holds the WBC belt. I've got a man. Sorry, there's also, like a potential Zoo fight. There's so many fights that I want, you know, before, you know, I get too old and have to hang them up. You know, I want to fight some big names, and hopefully if I can get some more belts and try to unify, that's definitely the plan, you know. Mm. One's great, but four is what we want, you know. Mm. So if I can try to work towards that, not saying we will, but that's obviously the plan, you know. I want to try to fight the guy that's got majority of the belts, and that, at the moment now, that's Yanovic.
And as Aussie, you know, I know that there are so many other opponents out there for you if you do win. But as an Aussie, the Tim Zoo question has to come up, because I would absolutely love to see that fight. Now, I don't know how much you can talk about, but obviously the controversy, you know, was set up last time. Could you, and I know you've probably spoken about it quite a lot, you know, in boxing circles, but in rugby league circles, we're all looking towards that fight. What kind of happened there with the fight that eventually fell through?
Look, I can't say too much, obviously, because of the legal situation still in place. But, you know, I just wasn't told the correct information and was basically forced to not take, you know, the procedures that were promised and not delivered. So, unfortunately, it was completely out of my hands. You know, I still cop heat for that. But I never pulled out of the fight. You know, for those that listen, that was never the case. And, you know, Tim Zoo, I know deep down knows that. I know his team knows that because, you know, we've sat down after the event and worked it all out, and obviously I fought back on their platform again, and you know, there's talks that we could potentially be working together moving forward, and you know, there was just things that, and it was on my side, it wasn't anything to do on their side, it was on my side. I just, again, was never told what was actually happening, and promised the world, delivered nothing. And yeah, sadly, it just, I had to cop all the heat for it, but it was never the case. And for the Australian boxing fans and for boxing itself, you know, I've cleaned out my backyard. Tim Zoo's cleaned out his backyard. It's the only one left for each other is each other. And I feel like the winner out of that fight is the Australian public and the sport of boxing. You know, it's a great fight. He thinks he beats me. I think I beat him. There's only one way to sell that. And, you know, if we're both world champions, there's more marbles in the pot.
Does it, you know, as a fellow Aussie, you know, it would be a weird, I guess, kind of, you would want an Australian to do well overseas, but at the same time, you know, you are rivals. Is, how deep is the rivalry? You know, is it a deep rivalry? Is it not a deep rivalry?
See, me and Hardman, you know, Isaac Hardman and him, we just personality clashed, and there was a lot of hate going in that fight, and obviously I knocked him out, and I've settled it on my end whether he holds the grudge or not, it's on him. But me and Tim Zoo, look, we generally just have that competitive personality, and I think that's what we clash. He's done nothing to me, and I've done nothing to him. So, like, I don't hate the guy. You know, and I've actually, in other media, you know, things I've said, yeah, hopefully he does well. You know, I want an Aussie to win. Obviously, we're Aussies, we all meant to stick together. And at the end of the day, when it comes to me and him, obviously that's when the animosity starts and that hate fires back up, because obviously I'm not going to go against myself or my team. So, but in this situation, no, I definitely want him to go over there. I want us both to go over there. And, you know, we've got two Aussies on the big platform. There's other Aussies like Liam Wilson and other guys over there trying to, you know, achieve greatness and Kambosis and Jaya Patea. And that's what it's all about, getting behind each other. You know what I mean? Regardless of what's happened in the past or not, when it comes time for me and Tim Zoo to fight each other again, and then we build it back up and we put on a performance, we build the fight and we settle it. But until then, yeah, hopefully he's in my corner for this fight, and I'm definitely in his corner. So that's what Aussie should do, you know, as countrymen and as athletes, we should stick by each other, you know, despite anything.
Yeah, it's. I tell you what, as an Aussie, I'd obviously totally agree with you, but that fight eventually, I absolutely would love it. Now, I know that it was a decisive win against Hardman, you know, a very decisive win. And look, you're kind of potentially on a bit of a different trajectory right now. Would you ever, sometime down the line, consider a rematch with Hardman just because there was so much bad blood?
Look, I mean, if it went 12 rounds and it was a close fight and it was, you know, it was in Melbourne and, yeah, people saying, oh, it should have gone this way, should have gone that way. I mean, look, I'd definitely have the rematch, but, you know, I mean, you didn't go two rounds. You know, you went 4 minutes. I knocked you out quite convincingly. I beat you in the first round, knocked you out halfway through the second. I mean, look, unless you financially, it was rewarding, or there was a world title on the line that set me up for something, there's no need for me. You know, I was always taught once you fight someone once and beat them, there's no real reason to fight them again. There's no benefit in that for yourself because you've already done that. You've beaten them. You know, you're just giving them the opportunity to get one back on you. I truly believe if I fight Hardman 10 times, I beat him 10 times just stylistically. But he's doing well. You know, he's got that punching power. He's putting people to sleep. But yeah, again, for me, like I said, unless he earned his way back up and like he's saying, he knows how the sport works and he's respectfully saying, you know, Zarafa flogged me. You know, he's trying to work his way back up to the WBA rankings. I'm at number one at the moment in the world. So if he can get up to that point and there's a position where he's my mandatory, yeah, then sure, we'll fight. But for just, you know, shits and gigs, let's just fight for the sake of trying to get one back on me. There's no real benefit for me. You know what I mean?
And look,
I'm not saying no. I'm just saying there needs to be something at the end of that for my, you know what I mean?
For sure. Totally get it. Totally get it. Now, look, there's plenty of reasons to watch the card March 30th, like, you know. But from a boxing purist fan, if you're speaking to them, what is something different that you think you're going to show on March 30th that we may not have seen from you before?
That's a good question. I just feel like all round I'm doing everything just so much better. Just the boxing IQ, just the footwork, the confidence. Again, I know every fighter says it, you know, oh, I'm the best and this, that, and it's actually cringy. So I don't want to be one of those fighters. I just feel like, you know, going into this, I'm just so much more confident. I'm just so much more relaxed. You know, working alongside greatness makes you great. And that's truly what I've been doing, you know, every day, spending 6, 7, 8 hours with Nonito Donaire, whether it's in the gym or just every day, driving around, shopping, whatever. We just always talk of boxing, talking game plan, talking strategics, talking confidence, talking mind. And I'm very excited. I just feel good. You know, whatever the outcome is, win, lose or draw, like, you know, I'm just sitting there telling myself, we got this, you know? So I just feel like come fight time, you're just going to see a different performance, not a different fighter, just a different performance, different confidence, different belief.
Now, I'm not sure if you're a prediction man, but is there any predictions at all, do you think, or?
Yeah, look, I truly believe I'm going to knock him out. I don't know. I've had this weird feeling for a while. Stylistically, despite he's a southpaw, I feel like, you know, just the way he's been fighting his last few fights, if he brings that fight night, I think I can knock him out. And obviously, I never go there looking for the knockout. I just go there and try to work each round as it comes. But I feel like if he tries to sit there with me, he's going to learn pretty quick that, you know, I'm not like the guys he's been fighting. But it's boxing. You know, you're one punch away from winning, one punch away from losing. So I never like to go out there and, believe it or not, say talk smack, which, you know, coming from me might sound a little bit crazy. But I've never done that even before my fights. I never like to say what I'm going to do in their fight. You know, I talk about their accomplishments or what I've accomplished, but I'll never talk about how it pans out because I just feel like, you know, it can go either way. But going in there, like I said, I'm confident and I feel like, you know, I've got a huge upper hand going into this.
And you're a Victorian man, a Melbourne man. So AFL, soccer, what's the other sport that you enjoy, if any other sport?
Well, yeah, Melbourne Victory's been getting behind me a lot, you know, so we've been going to all their corporate events and they've been getting me on the field and really getting behind me. So huge shout out to those guys for helping me out. The George Cross, you know, the local NPL teams have been getting behind me as well, and it's great, you know. So I'm starting to fall in love with a bit of the soccer,
okay.
And football. Obviously, I follow the Western Bulldogs, and they've shown a lot of love and support too. So it's great. Like I said, we're all sticking together, and that's what it's about. So walking out there with the Aussie flag and fighting for our country.
Well, look, you don't have to take this on board, but if you do fight Tim Zhu, it could be rugby league versus AFL. Just saying, that could be the angle you go with.
100%. I've actually never been to a rugby game. I can't remember. I don't think maybe when I was younger. But yeah, they're pretty good big boxing fans. So it'd be good. You know, the AFL, they're loving it. The rugby league, they get behind Zoo. I know that, and the No Limit Boys, which is great. Yeah, it'd be awesome. Time to build it up. They need me back in the media talking smack again.
Mate, I love it. Mate, good luck. I'll actually be over in Vegas, so I might see you over there, mate. But rooting for you, and I hope you boys absolutely kill it over there.
I appreciate it, bro. Much love. Thanks heaps.
Thanks, brother. Appreciate it, man.